Thanks for listening in today to our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we'll be continuing our study in the book of James. So let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
God will many times bring to you a place of difficulty. God did this with Jesus right after Jesus was baptized. Okay, what happened? The Spirit came upon him and then drove him to the wilderness, led him to the wilderness where what? He was tempted. Okay, he was tempted. He brings him into the wilderness. It speaks of a place of difficulty. He was going to be, he's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Very difficult. Yet the Holy Spirit didn't leave him there alone, brought him there. But he was with Jesus every step of the way. He didn't bring Jesus there in his humanity. He brought him there in the Spirit in his humanity. And it's where Satan then tempted Jesus to try and get out of this difficult situation. Look, you've been fasting 40 days, 40 nights. You got to be hungry, you know. Here's some stones. Turn them into bread. You don't need to go through this difficulty. That's what Satan does. He tries to tempt. He tries a shortcut and thwart what it is that God is trying to do in your life. God's ways are always, there's always going to be trials in your life. That's God's way. But the temptation is to circumvent those ways so that we don't have to endure the trial. You know, there's many examples if you think about it. As we're approaching the end of the year, and as April 15th will be approaching and everything else, and money might be tight or whatever, and God has you enduring through this trial of just trying to be frugal and very thrifty with your money and things like that, that there's a temptation that might come along that that you might want to inflate your deductions or your giving to charitable contributions in order to get more of a refund. There could be a temptation to do that. As opposed to going, no, you're still able to pay everything, you know. It is tight, I understand, but this is a time of endurance. I have you walking through this very tight time in your life. But the temptation is to try and, hey, here's a way I can make a little money if I just kind of exaggerate a little bit. I know I didn't give that much, but I wanted to. So if I got a little bit more of a refund, I'll tithe on that. And, you know, it's all, and you rationalize all this kind of stuff. You rationalize all that kind of stuff. Here's a really good example of this. Sobriety. If you're an alcoholic, if you're a drug addict, guess what your trial is going to be, probably for the rest of your life? Sobriety. Some trials are going to be lifelong, okay? But sobriety is going to be your trial. What do you think your temptation is going to be? Alcohol and drugs. Alcohol and drugs. We are called to endure, to be sober-minded, to be filled with the Spirit. Our trial, if this is you, is that your trial is going to be sobriety. But your temptation to derail that trial is always going to be there with drugs, alcohol. One thing must be clearly understood when we are tempted to sin. It does not come from God. That pulling, that tugging that you have in your heart to sin is not from God. But you know what is from God? 1 Corinthians 10:13. That God knows you're going to be tempted. And because he knows you're going to be tempted, he's there for you. And he tells them, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. You know what is common to man or mankind is what is meant here? You know what is common to mankind? Well, for one, lust. That's common to mankind. Selfishness is common to mankind. Pride is common to mankind. Self-righteous attitude is common to mankind. Greed is common to mankind. You can put any sin in there that you want. It is common. Don't think, well, nobody else gets tempted this way. That's a lie. Everyone does. And God has provided a means of escape for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a way that you can escape it. You don't have to do it. You can always turn to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I would say 9 times out of 10, he's saying, run. Get out of that situation now. Get out of that house. Get out of that place. Go back. Go back home where you need to be. The cause of one's failure in life does not lie with God. Man loves to play the blame game. We loved it. We did it from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they ate of the forbidden fruit. God comes walking in the garden saying, Adam, where are you? You know? He said, I'm over here. I'm hiding. He said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I command you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me. What did Adam just do? He blamed God. The woman whom you gave me. This helpmate, she certainly wasn't very helpful, you know. The one you gave me. And so the man says, the woman who gave me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said, the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. Now, I got to tell you something. The woman was correct there. The serpent did deceive her. But we're also told in God's word in Timothy that Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. Can I tell you something? I can just vouch for this in my own life. Okay, that becoming an adult, once I was an adult, and probably even earlier that, at 14, 15, or 16, whatever, everybody's a little bit different there, I can tell you this, I have never been deceived by sin. Every time I have sinned, I went into it eyes wide open. I didn't know drinking all that alcohol would make me drunk. You're an idiot then, okay? So you can either say that you went into your sin eyes wide open without being deceived, or you're an idiot. And honestly, I don't want to be an idiot. I knew exactly what I was doing. Every time I sin, I do it eyes wide. I know what I'm doing, and I know it's wrong every time. And so he places the blame game, but he doesn't say he's deceived because he wasn't deceived. He knew exactly, hey, you shouldn't have done that. And so, but I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. That was Adam. That was Adam. And I would say to you that that is us as well. That when it comes to guys especially, I know that I have never been deceived into sin. That every time I've sinned, I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew exactly what I was doing. But we like to play that blame game. Will Rogers once said, there are two eras in American history, the passing of the buffalo and the passing of the buck. Someone else once said, to err is human, and to blame it on the divine is even more human. We do this. We like to blame God for our circumstances. We believe they're simply too hard for us. He shouldn't have put us in that situation. We see this as a student who cheats on his exam, rationalizing that the professor is too hard, and this test is ridiculous. It's the only way you can pass, and we rationalize things like that. The thief who steals and blames God because of his poor environment. The drunkard who blames his partying on his friends. We don't want to take personal responsibility for anything. Yet when you come to Jesus, that's exactly what you have to do. You have to say, I'm a sinner and I have no one to blame but myself. And that tells me I'm in a fallen condition and that I need a savior. We have to take personal responsibility. So James goes on to show who's responsible for those failures. And so he tells us in verse 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. James is telling us that we need to look ahead. I know it's hard to do sometimes, but when you're being tempted, you need to look ahead. Okay, where's this going to lead? The problem with temptation a lot of times, or I should say the problem that we have when we are being tempted, is that we don't look at the long-term circumstances, or the consequence, I should say. We just look at that immediate gratification that that's going to bring. Okay, let's say you do that. Then what? What is that going to birth out? What is that going to bring? Where does that lead? And it will always lead to death. And he says, you got to look at the long picture here. James is saying, look ahead. This sin is going to lead to death. And so he describes this process, and it's a four-stage process. And so I got this slide right here. The process of sin has four stages: desire, deception, disobedience, and death. Now, for each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. What's the problem that we have as human beings? Our own desires, our sinful nature that we have in us. The word desire here is a word, Greek word, that means a longing, but especially for what is forbidden. I mean, this word could be used for good desires and bad desires, but in its context here, it's being used for those things that are forbidden by God. And so that temptation is when you begin to be drawn away by a desire that is forbidden by God, contrary to the word of God. Is when you try and satisfy a desire of the flesh that's outside of God's will is where we get into trouble. So a temptation is to try and satisfy a desire of the flesh outside of God's will. There are desires of the flesh that are natural desires. If you're hungry, you eat. Okay? If you're thirsty, you get something to drink. You know, if you're tired, you can go to sleep. But outside of God's will, it says it's okay to eat, but don't be a glutton. It's okay to be thirsty, but don't be a drunkard. You know, it's okay to go to sleep. Your body needs sleep, but don't be so lazy that you're sleeping 14, 15 hours a day and you can't get up on time to go to work. You know? And so there's a balance there. There's a balance there. And so it's okay to have these natural desires, but in the parameters of God's will. Sex is another example. The desire for sex is normal. But the practice of sex is only in the marriage relationship between male and female. Temptation would be to try and fulfill this fleshly desire outside of the will of God, outside of his institution of marriage. And to fulfill this desire of sex, this normal desire that we all have, outside the marriage relationship between male and female, that's a temptation and that is sin. Another example would be your tongue. God makes it very clear that your tongue, your words are for building up, for edification. Yes, there'll be times when you need to rebuke, but you're going to do it in love. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only what is necessary for the edification of the hearers," something to build up. We're also told that we're not to gossip. The word gossip in the Hebrew is talebearer. In Leviticus 19:16 says, "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people." Proverbs 26:20, "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases." Gossip causes strife, and it's a burning fire, and it will destroy. Sometimes we do this, you know, in group prayer. "Father, I want to pray for Bill, whose wife just left him for the local real estate agent." You're gossiping. That doesn't need to be brought up in prayer. Now everybody in prayer is going, "Does that mean that's Dan?" You know, and it just goes on. "I know Dan, he's a nice guy. Is it Dan?" You know, and it begins to spread and it causes strife. And that's wrong. And sometimes we do that. Instead, we need to go and say, "Hey, your situation, I'd like to pray about it. I'm about to go to, is it okay to pray about that?" And they're going, "No! Don't bring that up. Nobody else needs to know that." And so whatever you bring up in prayer, you need to understand if you're praying for someone, you have to know whether they want you to do that or not. If not, you're spreading gossip. It's not good. And it causes strife. We'll go more over that in James chapter 3. But temptation is this lure to sin. That's what temptation is, and God doesn't do that. He's there to build us up in the faith. Even though he might allow temptations to come, he has made a way of escape, he tells us. Now, temptation itself is not sin, okay? Man, I'm feeling tempted to, and you can put anything, okay, that's not sin. Being tempted is not sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted, was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. So the temptation, that lure, is not sin. And so we need to understand that. In Wiersbe says it this way, "Temptation sometimes is an opportunity to accomplish a good thing in a wrong way." And so I thought about that. I'm thinking, okay, as a kid, you want a bike to be able to, you know, go to your friend's house and to be able to ride around with your friends and things like that. That's not a wrong desire to want to have a bike, you know. As an adult, you're going, "Gosh, I would really like to have a car so I could be faithful in getting to work on time and be able to drive my family around, go to the grocery store and stuff like that." Those are all those are all fine desires and everything else, but the temptation is you don't then go steal a bike, okay? And you don't go steal a car to accomplish something that you think is good. That's the wrong way of doing it. And so the temptation is you don't want to wait another 6 to 8 months taking public transportation to everywhere and saving your money as you're going to work. You want it now. And so that's where the temptation, but the desire of wanting to have, there's nothing wrong with that. But how you get it, that temptation can come and that will be outside the will of God. And if you give into that temptation, that requires then some sort of action, and that action is sin, okay? So that thought of going, well, maybe I could do that. No, that's not right. That's not good. Well, just to have that thought of that temptation, that's not the sin. The sin is entertaining that thought to where that, now it's going to make you act in a way that is outside of the will of God. Desires have to be our servants, not our masters, okay? Because you do whatever it is you feel like doing, when that temptation comes, you do it, then that temptation is now your master. That desire is your master. But we want it to be our servants. The second here is after desires, is we have deception. James uses two illustrations of how Satan tries to deceive us. He draws us away. He carries with it this idea of baiting a trap. The word entice is a Greek word that means to bait the hook. It's used only two other times in the New Testament. Both have to do with sin. In 2 Peter 2:14, it says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Every time this word is used, it's to lure you into something sinful or evil, and it's to bring out sinful desires. But no animal purposely steps into a trap, okay? No fish just throws himself onto a hook, okay? It doesn't work, although sometimes when I go with my buddies, if they catch a fish, I kind of accuse the fish of being, you know, mentally ill, and that's why they were lucky, you know, kind of a thing. But the idea is to hide the trap, to make the hook not look like a hook, but something that the fish wants. And so it's a lure. This alluring, this bait, not only is there to attract us, but also hides the fact of that it's going to bring intense sorrow and punishment if we take it. And so this bait is so exciting, you no longer see the big picture of what is going to happen after that desire is going to produce. And so that bait keeps us from seeing the consequence of sin. David never would have slept with Bathsheba if it knew that she would get pregnant and that he would have to cover it up by murdering her husband, Uriah. But he didn't see that. He wasn't thinking long-term consequences. He just saw her out there taking a bath, and she's beautiful, and I want her. And all he was thinking about was the now. That's all he was thinking about. He wasn't thinking about the long-term consequences at all. And so too many times we think that when we struggle with something, we might as well just cave in. Well, that's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the enemy. One of the strongest delusions of man is understanding, since God has given me such strong passions and desires, I could do nothing but yield to them. That is such a lie from the enemy. We try and rationalize and yield to this appetite, and I must yield to it, and because I have this appetite, it must be the way it's supposed to be. And that's just not true. This kind of thinking is why we have homosexual churches, thinking you can have this lifestyle and still be in the will of God. You cannot. It's sin. This way of thinking is also why so many heterosexual Christians think it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. But that is also a lie. And you see, their rationale is that God made me this way. No, sin made you that way. And Jesus tells us to deny ourselves, your sinful ways, pick up the cross and follow him. Your sexual desires are not to be fulfilled in ways that are contrary to the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification in honor. not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of it and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarn you and testify. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as a sex addict. That is an absolute lie from the pit of hell. If there is a disease that way and I can't help myself, then how on earth can God say you should know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor? No such thing as a sex addict. Those who claim that don't want to take full responsibility that they're a sinner and that they need a savior. There's no such thing. We should abstain from sexual immorality. Anything outside of marriage, relationship between man and woman, is sexual immorality. And if you reject this, you don't reject Dave Love, you reject God. I'll pray for you. Verse 15 of James 1. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. This third one, after desire and deception, now comes to the third one, disobedience. This has to do with the will. Disobedience is a choice, an action taken, a decision has been made and acted upon. James now uses this illustration in the way of birth. Desire conceives a method for taking the bait. The will approves it, acts upon it, and the result is the birth of sin. Sin is born, and just wait until it matures. It's going to bring great sorrow. And unless repented of, it's going to bring about death. Christian living is a matter of the will. It's not a matter of feelings. It's not about feelings. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like denying myself. I don't feel like reading my Bible. Can I tell you something? I have never once felt like denying myself. It's never happened. And if you say, well, that's just my nature, I just deny myself, you're a liar. There's never been a person on this planet that has ever felt like denying themselves. It's not about feeling. It's about doing what the Word of God says and being in the Word of God and having the Spirit be able to lead and guide you through the day and be able to point out to you, here's a time where you can deny yourself for your spouse. Here's a time you can deny yourself for your kids. Here's a time you can deny yourself at work. Here's a way that you can deny yourself for your neighbor. Here's a way you can deny yourself here in this situation. Here's a way. It's the Spirit that shows me that. And when he shows me that, I don't all of a sudden, something just goes bing, and now I feel like it. It doesn't work the way. I'm just now know what it is I'm supposed to do. And because of the Holy Spirit, and because I'm in the Word, I have enough strength through the Spirit to deny my flesh and do it. But I don't feel like it. But after I do it, there is a feeling that comes upon me that says, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. And it's absolutely marvelous, but I'm here to tell you something. There's all sorts of times I don't feel like reading the Bible. There's times when I don't feel like coming to church, but as the pastor, I just think, probably should. You know? We have to, it's children who do things by what they feel and have to be taught by their parents that they're supposed to do what they're told, not how they feel. And there's so many immature Christians out there that don't know how to do what it is that God tells them to do, but just does what they feel. It's very sad. But we're told to walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is feeling. We will meet in the
golden city, Jerusalem. That's all we have time for today on this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Listen in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of James. If you live in the area of Castle Rock and are looking for a church to call home, be sure to come by and visit with us. We meet Saturdays at 5 p.m. and our Sunday service times are at 9 and 11 a.m. A combined junior and senior high class meets at 5 p.m. on Saturday evenings. On Sunday mornings, high school meets during the 9 a.m. service, and the junior high meets at the 11 a.m. service. Our young adults ministry, Arise, meets every Friday at 6:30 p.m. at Calvary Castle Rock. Child care is offered for all of our weekend services. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com, or you can download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you again for joining us today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.